Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday class at the Young Israel Woodmere. Just a schedule announcement, and I cleared this, of course, with Rabbi Schechter. I will, yes, have shiur next week. I know that Rabbi Schechter is not teaching next Tuesday, but he left the decision up to me, and he said whatever you prefer. So, yes, I have class next Thursday. What is that date? Bezer Hashem, I do have class Thursday, January 20th, so I'm letting the people on Zoom and the people in person know. I will not be teaching the last Thursday of January, which I think is January 27th, okay? So I do have class, Bezer Hashem, next week. No Thursday class, the last Thursday of January, okay? Okay. Also, I don't know if everybody saw, or if you didn't see, but there was, Rachmana Litzlan, a terrible accident in Eretz Yisrael overnight, that in a army base near the Dead Sea, so there in that region, so there was some stealing of some night vision equipment. So two different teams of IDF personnel went out to search to investigate the incident. And one soldier didn't know that apparently two other commanders had gone out, and he saw them and at close range, and he thought that they were terrorists, and he shot and killed two of his fellow soldiers. Major Ofek Aharon, age 28, was killed, and Major Itamar El-Harar, age 26, married, who grew up on a Dati Moshav, was killed. So he killed two of his fellow IDF soldiers. These are Egos unit company commanders. They were misidentified and mistakenly killed by IDF fire during a security patrol last night. Major Ofek Aharon, age 28, Itamar El-Harar, age 26. Of course, you could go online and you could see about the incident and see their pictures, etc. So, Baruch Dayan HaEmes, and it's a Rachman al-Tzan, horrible tragedy. And also our tefillah should probably be not only with the family of the victims, but also with the soldier who, Rachmana Litzlan, shot his two fellow soldiers, obviously completely unbeknownst to him. A real horrible loss and terrible, terrible tragedy. So this is going to be the third and last part of this shiur. Shows you, I just want to point out one lesson before we even get started. And that is how complex, in-depth, and how much there is to learn in Torah. We've been spending our time on a couple of pesukim. It's going to be three full shiur. We're not repeating the information. We're teaching new information, learning, I should say, new information every single time. This should just give you an idea of the profundity and depth and vast expanse, the infinite nature of Torah. If we could spend 3 hours on one to two pesukim, and we're probably not even covering all the material on these psukim, imagine how deep and profound Kol HaTorah Kulo truly is. So that's just something to appreciate from this three-part series, which is tremendously incredible. I also want to point out something extremely interesting, sort of a PS from last time's class. Last time we quoted the Or HaChaim, and one of the things that the Or HaChaim teaches us is the principle of Torah, is that the Lo Ta'aseh, if you recall, always comes before the Aseh. Do you remember? Okay? That's why Hashem told him first, Al tikrav halom, and only then, Shal na'alacha me'al raglecha. Because the Or HaChaim says that the lo ta'aseh is to prevent you from damage to your soul, and the aseh is to bring you to a higher degree or a higher level. He brought us other examples in Chumash. So you were nodding yes, so I hope everybody recalls. If not, for some reason, you could go back and look at the Or HaChaim again. But I want to point out something extremely interesting. Based on a comment that somebody said to me, after class last time, the very first mitzvah in the Torah, okay? The very first mitzvah of the Torah is Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemor, mikol eitz hagan ochel tochel, umipri ha'eitz asher besoch hagan lo sochu mimenu. The first mitzvah in the Torah is an aseh. The first mitzvah is Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Tochel. See the Meshech Chachma's beautiful commentary on that mitzvah, followed by the Lo Taseh Umipri Ha'Eitz Asher B'Soch Hagan Lo Sochu Mimeni. So that's extremely interesting. By Brias HaOlam, before sin, before sin, God actually commanded the Aseh before the Lo Ta'aseh. Even though the Aruch Chaim says, I will teach you a principle of Torah, which is the Lo Ta'aseh always comes first. And then Rachi Fried pointed out to me, she joins us on Zoom every Thursday morning, that by the Aseret HaDibros, which is next week's parasha, we have the same thing. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Sitzicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Mi'beis Avadim, is the Aseh, followed by Lo Yalecha Elor Mecherim Alpanai, which is the Lo Ta'aseh. So this is extremely interesting. By Brias HaOlam, before sin, the Aseh came before the Lo Ta'aseh. You shall eat from all the trees of the garden. The Meshech Chachma says, Beferish, I don't know Meshech Chachma Bereshus, you actually have Meshech Chachma Shmos. But Meir Simcha Koy Midavinsk, and he points out that that is the first mitzvah in the Torah. You shall eat from the trees in the garden. It's followed by the Lo Ta'aseh. And then Rachi pointed out to me that's the same thing by the Aseret HaDibros. The Aseh, I am the Lord God, who took you out of the land of Egypt, the house of slavery, is followed by the Lo Ta'aseh. So this is a reverse order of what the Aruch Chaim teaches us is the principle of Torah. So how do we understand this? It's extremely interesting. So I was thinking to myself that perhaps the answer is as follows. God is teaching us in the ideal state of perfection, it would really be, we wouldn't have to worry about being mechabel, that was the word of the Aruch Chaim, to our nefesh. We wouldn't have to worry in the ideal state of being man and an Eved Hashem would be a perfect being. We wouldn't be persuaded by a Yetzer Hara. Before Adam HaRishon sinned, there was no Yetzer Hara in man. And therefore, we would not need to be worried so primarily about not damaging our souls. We would naturally not want to damage our souls. The only thing we would want to do is elevate ourselves higher and higher. And the Aruch Chaim said, that's the purpose of all mitzvos aseh, to elevate ourselves higher and higher. So we wouldn't need the strict warning, stay away, do not do this, because we would naturally not do it. We would naturally only work to elevate our souls higher and higher. So the PS is almost, thou shalt not do. And you see, that's how it was introduced to the world before the sin. And Parak Beis, the first thing God said to the world is, you shall eat. Only after, as an afterthought, almost, you shall not eat. And then by the Aseret HaDibros, it's almost like a tikkun for the first sin. The world is starting again, so to speak. Am Yisrael is now starting. So at the birth of the world, Aseh before Lo Ta'aseh, at the birth of Knesset Yisrael as a nation shaped by the identity of Torah, it was also Aseh followed by Lo Ta'aseh. So Hashem is teaching your goal. Rabbi Zev Lev speaks about this, not in regard to this topic at all, but he says the Torah always outlines the goal first and then gives you the path how you shall get to the goal. So it seems that Hashem is telling us the ultimate goal is the man should be in a perfect state where you don't really need almost the Lo Ta'aseh, because you're naturally not going to want to do anything that will damage your soul. Hashem therefore introduces this concept of mitzvos aseh, thou shalt do, which elevates you to a higher realm of being, and only after that the Lo Ta'aseh. But since l'maisa, human beings are weak, and human beings are fallible, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that we are not in a perfect state of existence. The path to achieve the goal, says Rabbi Zev Lev, is then laid out for you. The path is do not do, followed by you shall do, but the true goal is you should be a people of always striving to elevate yourselves first, mitzvos aseh, followed by the Lo Ta'aseh, do not damage your soul. So I thought it was just an extremely interesting contrast. The Aruch Chaim laid out the principle, but l'maisa, by Brias HaOlam, and by the formation of Knesset Yisrael as a nation under Torah, united by Torah, it's really the opposite. It's Aseh followed by Lo Ta'aseh. So that was just a Ha'ara based on last time's class, which I thought was extremely interesting. So now we are in the middle of the Kli Yakar. I've marked down exactly where we are. Up to, for those who are here in person, you're at the top of page 5 on your handout. At the very top, if you don't have a handout, they are on the Bima. For the people on Zoom, I'm going to screen share. Okay? Okay, can you see that I'm on the screen? Yeah, okay, fine. Remember again, please do not comment on the Zoom chat. I just find it distracting. And then I'm going to miss, if I'm sharing the wrong screen, then I want you to post. Otherwise, please refrain from commenting kindly. So what we're talking about is the Kli Yakar, and we're trying to identify the difference between why Yoshua was told to take off one shoe, but Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take off two shoes. Once again, I will remind you that this whole impetus for this year was from a Dvar Torah by Rabbi Yisrael Chesser, where Rabbi Yisrael Chesser told my son's class, he's a 10th grade Chumash Rabbi in Hank, so he told my son's class that why was Moshe commanded to take off both shoes and Yehoshua only one? So Rabbi Chesser said, because, and this is, I found it so fascinating, it was the impetus for these three full in-depth classes. Moshe was just informed that his father had died, and therefore it was a sign of avelus, and therefore he had to take off his shoes. And furthermore, Rabbi Chesser added, which my son only told me after I said this idea to him, my son said, oh yeah, Rabbi Chesser said that. I forgot to tell you, the 7 days at the burning bush was really the period of Shiva. Okay, so let's finish the Kli Yakar. And by the way, remember I told you last time, Rabbi Chesser said that actually comes from Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank Zatzal, Sefer An Chumash. Okay, so let us go into the Kli Yakar. Oh, so the Kli Yakar was talking about the fact that Yehoshua retained some of his Gashmias, where Moshe became Kulo Ruchnias. Therefore, Moshe had to take off both shoes, just like the shoe is a case for the foot. So too, the Gashmius is a case for the Ruchnius, so to speak, for the body. But by Moshe, he elevated himself so much, it was almost as if he did not have any Chomrius, any materiality left anymore. And that's represented, the great Moshe Rabbeinu was so great. He elevated all parts of himself to be completely Ruchnius, and therefore he had to take off two shoes. Whereas Yehoshua maintained some of his Chomri, his Gashmius self, his physical side, and that's represented in the fact that he only had to take off one shoe. So we are here in the Kli Yakar. Again, if you are joining us in person, you are on the first line of page 5. If you are joining us on Zoom, it is highlighted on my screen. Okay. V'zeh shenemar, and that's what the Pasuk says, shenismala kol habayis ura kushanolad kmosha. The Pasuk tells us in the beginning of Perek Beis in Sefer Shemos, v'tahara isha, Vayeich ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi, Arba men Yocheva get remarried, and she conceives and she gives birth to a son, vayar oso ki tovu. I think it's Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, Kinshmos. She sees the child that he is good. What does it mean he's good? So if you will look at Rashi there, you'll see that Rashi says, quoting Chazal, nismale habayis kulo ora. When Moshe was born, the whole house was filled with light. So that is what the Kli Yakar is referring to here. V'zeh shenemar, and that's what the sages mean when they say shenismale kol habayis ora kishenolad Moshe. Excuse me. The whole house was filled with light when Moses was born. Kizeh haya siman lo. This was a sign to him. Shehabayis ha'enoshi yeh ora mikol tzar. Enosh is a word for men. Enosh, Adam, Gever. If anyone's in my JCC class this week, we spoke about this. Were you there, BB? You didn't listen yet. You still have to listen. So Enosh is a word for man. Habayis ha'enoshi ya'uro mikol tzad. It was an allusion to Moshe, a remez, a sign, a foreshadowing that his human self, his physical, personal being, his body, would be totally light from all sides. Once again, the Kli Yakar is reminding us that Moshe Rabbeinu almost does not have a gashmistic side. Almost. He is kulo ora. He is all ruchnius from every aspect of himself. Of all Yehoshua, when it came to Yehoshua, shelo haya meir ki im mitzad ha-seichel ovad. Yehoshua was only meir. He only gave off light. He was only ruchnius from the side of the sichli. He worked on himself to cultivate ruchnius within himself, but he maintained his gashmi. So only part of Yehoshua was ruchnius, i.e. only part of Yehoshua was light-filled and light-giving. And mitzad ha-seichel avad, so to speak, that where the seichel, the mind, the thought, the organ of thinking, the inner part of himself was ruchnius, but when it came to Yehoshua, the external self was still gashmius. Im kein, therefore, ne'amar lo shal na'alecha achad b'mashma, shal na'alecha achad b'mashma. Therefore, to Yehoshua, it was only take off one shoe. Ki lo husar ha-chomrius, ki imin ha-chelek ha-sichli levad. He was not able to remove all his chomri, all his physicality, only in one aspect of his mind. So his mind, his seichel, so to speak, was elevated to be ruchnius, but he still maintained gashmius. Whereas with Moshe Rabbeinu, that was not the case. Ve'im kein lo hizkir atzlo admas kodesh. Oh, and that's why, remember I told you last time, tear off page one, so you could compare the psukim. If you did, fine. If not, you could look at the two psukim now. Look back on the top of page one. Hashem says to Moshe, Shal na alacha me'al waglacha, ki hamakom asher atal made alav admas kodesh, but to Yehoshua, hamakom asher atal made alav kodeshu. Notice, Yehoshua is one shoe, Moshe is two shoes, but not only that, there's another difference. What's the other difference? Moshe is told, it is admas kodesh. Yehoshua does not say that, it just says, hamakom asher atal made alav kodeshu minus the Admat, Admas. So now the Arachaim addresses that. V'im kein lo hizkir atzlo Admas Kodesh. And that's why by Yehoshua it does not say Admas Kodesh. Ki chelak ha'adama shebo lo nitkadesh. So beautiful. Because the portion of Adama, how did Hashem make man? By Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. V'yitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. Why is he called Adam? Because he is afar min ha'adama. So man is made of two aspects of being. One is atma, adama. What does that represent? Physicality. The other is nishmas chayim, the soul of life. The entire ruchni is part of myself. Every one of us has these two aspects. If we were kula ruchnis, we would not be in olam hazeh. We would be in the Olam HaNeshamos. And if we were Kulo Gashmias, we would not be of the Hashem and living, breathing human beings. You might be Kulo Gashmias, a golem or a fish. Okay, you would be Kulo Gashmi. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being a fish if that's what Hashem made you. But Hashem made us to embrace two aspects of ourselves. We have the Adama part, Afar min ha'adama, and we have the Nishmas Chayim part, the Ruchnius part. But when it comes to Yehoshua, he sanctified the Nishmas Chayim part. But the Adama part stayed. Adama, like us. We can't go on the top of the mountain and not eat and not drink for 40 days and 40 nights. Hashem never commanded us to separate from our spouses like he commanded Moshe, which the Kiyakar pointed out last time. We are a composite of spirituality and physicality. Moshe Rabbeinu is different. And that's why by Yehoshua, chelak ha'adama shelo lo nitkadesh, the portion of his physical self was not elevated to a ruchnis degree. It stayed physical. Okay. And therefore God did not tell him, Yehoshua, do not come close. And Hashem did not need to hold him back from coming close. Another difference that you see in the Psukim by Yehoshua and Moshe is Moshe is told, do not approach. Yehoshua is not told, do not approach. So now the Kliyakar, is addressing this difference as well. Remember what I told you in the beginning of Shir. The first lesson from this is how profound Torah is. We do not even appreciate, literally, we do not appreciate the divine nature and infinite magnitude of Kol HaTorah Kulo. If this is how long we can spend on two psukim comparing something from Sefer Yehoshua to something from Sefer Shemos, and we probably have not done all the sources, imagine how much Torah there is to learn. It's literally mind-boggling. Like, you could spend your whole life literally just learning and never finish. And we, especially as women, cannot spend our whole lives learning because we have other things to do. But I just want you to have an appreciation. I hope you gain something else. But if you mamish gain nothing else, I want you to have an appreciation for the unbelievable depth, the vast, infinite ocean of Torah. And therefore, Hashem did not need to tell him, do not come close. And he didn't need to hold him back from coming close by Yehoshua. Ki belav hachi haya hachomer masach. Because even without this, without him commanding Moshe to come close, the chomer of Yehoshua, the physical part of Yehoshua, masach, is a division, a partition. Mavdil beino lebein elokav. It is already a separation between him and God. Why? Because he has chomri. Chomri divides between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Our physical taivas is what keep us separated from God. So Hashem didn't need to say, don't come close. Hashem didn't need to say, do not come close to me. He didn't need to prevent him from coming close to God, because naturally Yehoshua already had a division between him and God. Yehoshua cannot look at Hashem. He didn't have the capacity to be told, don't look at me, because he couldn't look at God. Because he was Chomri. and Ruchani, where Moshe was Kulo Ruchani. V'ulai mitam zen nemar, and perhaps that's why the pasuk says, Vayikra Moshe Moshe. So if you remember 4 weeks ago, Parsha Shmos, what we spoke about is the double calling of the name of Moshe. Find your tafkid, Hashem calls him by name. Vayikra Moshe Moshe, beis pa'amim. Why does Hashem say, when he calls out him by the snake 2 times, Ki kara Hashem l'shnei chalakav. God was calling to Moshe's 2 aspects of himself. Ki shneihem kedoshim. Heima hachomer v'hatsura. Hashem was saying, Moshe, Moshe, I'm calling to both aspects of you. Your chomri side, your form side, your ruchniya side. But really, Moshe ultimately made those 2 parts of himself into 1 composite of kulo ruchniya. So it's, first of all, there's such a Yeridus Hadoros, it's impossible for us to fathom the greatness of who or what Moshe Rabbeinu was. We could read this, we could learn this, we could explain this, we could talk about this. It's literally, I think, impossible for someone on our level with the vast descent of the generations to even conceptualize of who or what Moshe Rabbeinu was. But it's incredible to consider the heights that he reached. V'yesh Omrim, 2nd paragraph on page 5 for those here in person. V'yesh Omrim, k'shakara lo Moshe Moshe, l'fisha galos Yisrael dome alav yisparach l'masa kavyacha. The other reason that he called him 2 times Moshe Moshe is because galos, the Israelites were in galos, exile, right? It's as if it's a heavy burden on the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, which also is a little bit of chizuk for us. We are in a very heavy galos. I mentioned the horrible, unspeakable, terrible tragedy in Eretz Yisrael. The galus is so terrible, but Hashem feels our pain. Hashem feels the burden of galus, so to speak. Lakach karo kriya achar kriya. Therefore, he called him, and he called him again. L'maher b'yasok. You know, if you need your kid, if it's not an emergency, so you call 1 time. If it's an emergency, you say, I don't know, let's say your child's name is Moshe. It's very possible. Moshe, Moshe, come here. If you could wait, it's okay. Moshe, it's time for supper. But if there's something urgent, Moshe, 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 don't you hear me? You call with great urgency, and the kids saying, just a minute, mom, give me time to get there, but you're calling with urgency. So that's what the Kliyakor is saying. Hashem is calling with great urgency. Kriya achar kriya, lemaher biyaso. He wanted to hurry, to rouse Moshe, to hurry up. Ulekahal me'alav yisparach hamasa. Hashem wanted, so to speak, Moshe to lighten the burden from upon him, God. Kemosha Nema, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Imo Anochi Bitsara, which is what Rashi says, why Hashem appeared to him in a thorn bush. Kemosha Nema, Ki Adati Esmech Ovav. Hashem says, Kemosha, by the burning bush, I know their pain. Ki Adati Hainu Margish B'mech Ovav Kaviyach. Hashem is saying, it's as if I feel their pain. So, Umasha Kasuv Anochi Elke Avicha. Oh, 1 second. Okay, I didn't give you those psukim, but if you recall, I don't even have a chumash in front of me. If you remember, the pasuk, no, it's okay. Oh, you have one there. Okay, the pasuk right after, it's okay. I think it's okay. Thank you. The pasuk right after, Shal na alacha mayal raglacha, Shemos 3:5, Hashem says, Kumoshe, Anochi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Hashem then says to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. I've seen their pain, I will descend to save them. So therefore, the pasuk says the Kliyakor, 3rd paragraph, Anochi Elokei Avicha, Peirush Razal, the explanation of Chazal, I may have quoted this in the first class. Salvechik quotes this Medrash as well. I'm sure many others do too. When Hashem first appeared to him, it was in the voice of Amram. What Moshe heard from the burning bush was the voice of his father. Okay? Obviously, we don't know how Hashem sounds, but it was the voice of his father, Amram. Ukisha Amar Hineni, and when Moshe answered back, here I am, Amar lo Kosh Baruch Hu, Hashem then said, Ein za kol avicha. Wait a minute, now that I got your attention, now that you turned, because you thought Amram was calling you, but remember, Rabbi Chester said in the name of Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank that Amram was really not alive anymore. He calls him in the voice of Amram. Then Hashem says, wait, it's not the voice of your father Amram. Elokol Elokei Avicha Amram. I'm the God of the fathers of Amram, which is why the pasuk says, Elokei Amram, Elokei Avicha, referring to Amram, but then Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's not Amram actually speaking to you, it's the God of your forefathers. Ukasiv kan arba pa'amim Elokei. The Kliyakar also says something beautiful. Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Four times it uses the term the God of Kineged Arba Lashonu Shel Geula, which also I never saw before. Another thing to remember by Pesach, when God first reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says the God of your father, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Those four terms are actually referring to, are an allusion to the Arba Lashonos Geula, the four terms of redemption from the beginning of the era, of course, the Votzeis. Okay, remember I told you when my son told this to our Torah, I was very fascinated by it, and I sat down on Shabbos just for my own interest. I didn't know it was going to turn into a three-part series. I just found it incredibly amazing, and I was sitting down with the Mikros Gedolos looking up all the Mefarshim, and finally I came to the very end of the Kli Yakar, and I was so happy. Let's do the last paragraph of the Kli Yakar. V'yesh Omrim Shalakach hizkir alokei avicha. Why did Hashem first say alokei avicha and then alokei Avram, alokei Yitzchak, alokei Yaakov? Why doesn't Hashem just come to Moshe and say, listen, I'm the God of the patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why does he first say alokei avicha? Lefi shagilo ba, lefi shagila lo bazeh sha'aviv kvar meit. Ah, here we go. I came to the end of the Kli Yakar on Shabbos morning. I was so excited. Why? Because this was the Dvar Torah that spurred the whole Shir. And here the Kli Yakar Mamash writes this. Lefi shagilo wal bazah sh'aviv kfar beis. What Hashem was telling Moshe when he said Elokei avicha is that his father had died. Who's his father? Amram. Achar sheyichad shmo yisparach alav. Only once, we said this in the first class, Hashem only attaches his name to somebody after that person has died. We spoke about that in class number one. So if God was saying, I'm the God of Amram, it had to be that Amram had died. Hashem does not attach his name to a person until that person has died. I brought you sources in class number one. So this is the first time that Moshe is finding out that Amram was no longer alive through the words Elokei Avicha. But the Kli Yakar does not tie into the shoes like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank does. Kli Yakar though does say that he's finding out that his father died. So the Kli Yakar gives a different reason. Why is the first thing Hashem tells him, your father died? Why is that the first thing he has to know? The Kli Yakar gives a different reason. The kidei shelo yisarev leilech b'shlichu zeh b'malkom aviv. The Gemara says in Masechah Sota, Yud Beis, I believe it's Amud Aleph. Excuse me. The Gemara says in Masechah Sota there that Amram was the quote Gadol Hador. That's the lashon the Gemara uses, which I always find fascinating because we tend to think that Gadol Hador is like some new term that people came up with today to show reverence for, you know, the Torah giants of our generation. The Gemara says that Amram quote Amram Gadol Hador haya. Amram was the God of Hadar. So what does the Kli Yakar say? Why is the first thing, before Hashem says, Va'ireid lahatzilo, I'm coming down to save them, u'lahalaso min ha'aretz hazos, el eretz zava chalav u'dvash. Before Hashem says, I'm coming down to save them, to take them up to the land flowing with milk and honey, he first needs to say, your father has died. Why? Because you, Moshe, are going to be the shaliach. And what is Hashem afraid of, kaviyachal? So to speak, that Moshe is going to say,
my father should go.
How could I go? My father's the God of Hadar. My father should be the leader. That's exactly what the Kli Yakar says. Ukedei shelo yisarev leilech b'shlichu zeh b'makam aviv. Ki afilu b'fnei Aaron achiv ha-gada haya misarev likach sarara. Because we know that he gave different reasons by the burning bush why Moshe should not be Moshe Rabbeinu. He'll stay a shepherd in Midian, the son of Lavi, or married to Tzipor. You shall that Aaron go. Shlach nabiya tishlach, right? He blames the people, heim lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu v'koli, perakdal pasukav. He blames himself, Aras Vasayim, Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi, Gamath Mol Gam Shoshav. He also says, Aaron should go and sell him. Yishlach na biyad tishlach. Send the one you are accompanying to sending. And Rashi says, he was saying to God, why are you sending me? You should send Aaron. He's 3 years older than me. Aaron was 83. Moshe was 80 at the time of this narrative. So you should send Aaron. So the Kliyakar says, if he doesn't want to go because he doesn't want to insult or take the place or the covet of Aaron, how much more so if he thinks Amram is alive, is he going to say, how could I go? My father should certainly go. He didn't want to take a position of gedula. Sarara is like a prince, sar. He didn't want to take this princely position, this position of honor, before Aaron. Kal v'chomer finishes the kliyakar. Kal v'chomer what? B'makom aviv. How much more so if he had to take the place of who? His own father. Oh, that's a kliyakar. Of course, I was very excited when I came to the end of kliyakar, and I saw that the kliyakar writes exactly this, that Hashem was informing him, I should have to stop the screen share. Hashem was informing him, why is my screen seem to be frozen? Okay, I hope we're okay. My computer's not doing what I wanted to do. I can't. Okay, I hope they're okay there. Okay, I hope nothing just happened. I hope the people on Zoom could. Vivian, Larry, you're the only one I could see right now on the Zoom. Can you still see and hear me? Because I can't, somehow can't stop screen sharing. You could? Yes or no? Yes, fine. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, I now want to quote the Mesher Chachma. I mentioned that I was don't have the Mesher Chachma Bereishis here, but I do want to quote the Mesher Chachma. I have to see the time if I actually want to quote the Mesher Chachma. Yeah, I do. Okay, so the Meshach Chachma, Meshach is an acronym for Meir Simcha Kohen Midavinsk. Okay. Oh, 1 second. Okay, my computer's doing weird things. Oi, the people on Zoom, could you see me and hear me? It's okay? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So the Meshach Chachma says, talking about this Elokei Avicha, right? Why does Hashem say to him, Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? So the Kliyakar has just told us, one, it's connected to Arba Lashonis Geula. The other thing is that he appeared in the voice of Amram, that's Elokei Avicha. And then he said, oh no, I'm not Amram, I'm the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the third thing the Kliyakar has just told us is that he was informing Moshe that his father had died. Excuse me. The Meshach Chachma gives a different reason as to why Hashem says to him, Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Avram. It's not on your hands. It's in short, Meshach Chachma. This is the Meshach Chachma. It's very deep pshat and difficult to understand without help. So the Meshach Chachma is often printed with elucidating notes. Rav Kuberman, he was Zatzal, he was there when I was in Mechlala. He actually had my trip to Poland. I went with Mechlala. So Rav Kuberman has glosses on the Meshach Chachma, and that's the set of the Meshach Chachma that I have. The top is the Meshach Chachma, the bottom is Rav Kuberman. As you can see, this is the Meshach Chachma I'm quoting. That's Rav Kuberman on the Meshach Chachma. Okay, so here we go. Why does he say Elokei Avicha and then Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Okay, Lefi Meshach Kasav HaRambam B'Hilchos Malachim. According to what the Rambam writes, says the Meshach Chachma in Hilchos Malachim of his Mishnah Torah, Shaha Avos Chidshu Mitzvos. Every one of the patriarchs was mechadish a different mitzvah. Okay. The Amram Nitzava B'Mitzray Mitzvos Yiseros. And Amram was commanded. Remember, you read already. Remember, we already quoted the Gemara that says he was the God of Hadar. Oh my gosh, 1 second. I knew something was wrong. I just got cut off. But now he just reconnected me. But now I'm on mute. 1 second, please. I saw something was wrong. Okay, everyone wait, please, a minute. Okay, there seems something to be wrong with my Zoom today. Oh, they can't hear me. Gosh. Is the Zoom picture of me and the sound are gone. Okay, I'm going to have to leave this meeting and rejoin. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay, one moment, please. Let me try this again. I hope they don't leave the meeting. If they do, we'll just continue, and then they will have to listen on Wayu Torah. One second, please. I saw something was wrong. One moment, please. I know they can't hear me or see me. I'm aware. I'm trying. Something's wrong with the Zoom. I'm sorry. I can't claim host. Okay, we have to go on. Bad. There's nothing I could do. Technology often has a mind of its own. It's not working. Okay, that's sad. It's not working. Okay, let's continue. My recorder's still running. Okay, let's go back to the Meshach. Let me at least make sure the recorder's still going. Hashem, yeah, Baruch Hashem. So let's go back to the Meshach Chachma, okay? So the Meshach Chachma says that the Rambam teaches in Hilchos Melachim that each of the Avos were Mechadish certain mitzvos, and Amram in Mitzrayim was commanded extra mitzvah. So now Rav Cooperman writes as follows to clarify and explain the Meshach Chachma to us. Harei Lashon HaRambam Sham. Behold, the Rambam writes there. Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztavu Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was commanded regarding six things. Al Avodah Zarah, Al Birkas Hashem, which is really a euphemism for not Birkas Hashem, but the other. Al Shvichus Damim, Adam was commanded against idolatry, against cursing or blaspheme, against murder, Shvichus Damim, Val Gilu Arayos, this is what Adam was commanded upon, uncovering nakedness, Val Hagazo stealing, Val Hadinim, and monetary loss. Ava Pisha Kulan Hain Kabbali Biadinim Moshe Rabbeinu, even though these are all a Kabbalah to us in our hands, they're received to us from Moshe Rabbeinu, Vahadas no Tanlam, and also they're Sichli. Your mind, hadash no taba, and your mind is planted in these mitzvos. In other words, if Hashem didn't tell you and you were a moral person, you would know not to blaspheme. You would know not to spill blood. You would know not to steal. You would know to be fair when it comes to monetary judgments. Miklal divrei Torah, yirasha al elu nitztavu. Well, we see that from the words of Torah, upon these, Adam was commanded. So Adam was commanded, hosif lenoach evre minachai, and then Noach was commanded the seventh of the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which is, you shall not eat a limb from a live animal, Pereishis Perak Tes Pasuk Dalet, Ach Basar B'nafsho Doma Lo Socheilu, Nimtzu Sheva Mitzvahs. So between Adam 6 and Noach 1, we have how many mitzvahs? 7. So now we come up to the patriarch, okay? So Adam was commanded 6 mitzvahs, Noach was commanded 1 more, that's 7. V'kein haya hadavar b'chol ha'olam ad Avram. And that's how the world continued until Avram Avinu came along with those 7 commandments. Ba Avram v'nitztava yeser al elu. Avram came, and what was Avram's mitzvah that he was mischadesh? Very good. Al Eilu Bemila, Bracious Parakid Zion. Furthermore, Vahu Hit Palal Shachris. So Avram introduced, Mesechus Brachus, Chof Vav, 26b, Amad Beis. Avram introduced, was given the mitzvah Bris Mila, and also introduced Tefillah. Ayashkeim Avram Baboker, Shemos Bracious, 1927, Al Malcolm Mesher Amacham Espinay Hashem. Yitzchak, what mitzvah does Yitzchak Mischadesh Meiser? Like Pasuk says, Vayimtza b'shana hihi me'esha armen b'reishas chavav, he becomes very successful, and he finds in that year 100 sha'arim, and he gives meiser from that, says Rav Kuperman. So that was Yitzchak's mitzvah. V'hosiv tfilah cheres lufnos hayam. Further, Kumar Yitzchak added another mitzvah, which is he was mesaken tfilas mincha. Bereishis 24:63. V'yetzi Yitzchak lasuach basadach lufnos erev. V'Yaakov. Yaakov's mitzvah was? I can't hear. He was Masake in Arvis, but each of the patriarchs, you see, has a mitzvah besides for the tefillah, that they were mischadesh.
Learning Torah?
I can't hear.
Learning Torah?
Not learning Torah. It's the end of Perak Lama Beis. You all know. I'm going to say, then you're going to say, oh, of course. Al kein lo yochlu gid hanesha ad hayom hazeh. Okay, and Yaakov hosif gid hanesha, dunati from the sciatic nerve, v'hid palel arvis. Okay, so until Avram's time, Noach was given six mitzvos, avodah zarah, birkas Hashem, shvichus damim, gil Adam. Did I say Noach?
Yes.
Adam. Avodah zarah, birkas Hashem, shvichus damim, gil arayos, gezal, and dinim. Monetary laws. Along comes Noach, and he's given Avram Minachai. Along comes Avram Avinu, and he's Mischadish Bismila and Shachris. Yitzchak Meiser and Mincha. Yaakov Gid Hanesha and Tfilas Arvis. Ube Mitzrayim, and in Egypt, Nitztava Amram. Oh, the Meshach Chachman says, Shahaya Gadol Hadar. Okay, no, Rav Kuperman writes that. And in Mitzrayim, Amram, who was the god of Adar, was commanded to be mitzvos yuseiros, with extra mitzvos, ad sheba Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishama Torah al yado. Until Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and he completes the Torah through his hand. Now, it's interesting. It doesn't say which mitzvos, Rav Kuperman doesn't write, which mitzvos Amram was mischadish. So now, let's go back up to the Meshach Chachma. Why does it say, remember, why does Hashem say, Anochi Elokei Avicha, which refers to Amram, and then Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So, the Meshach Chachma says, now that we've done Rav Kuberman's glosses, according to what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, the Avos were mischadish. They renewed, they introduced the mitzvos, and furthermore, the Rambam writes, Amram nitztava b'mitzrayim mitzvos yiseiros. That's the Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. As quoted by the Meshach Chachma, I will tell you that I did not look up the Rambam, but he writes that Amram was nitztava b'mitzrayim mitzvos yiseiros. Extra mitzvos. Lakach kisiv alokei avicha. That's why Hashem says, first Moshe, the God of your father, ze Amram. Shagam avosim amam nitztavu b'mitzvos. Shem was saying to him, just like Amram was mitzvah and mitzvos, and the patriarch mitzvah and mitzvos, ultimately Moshe, you will be the one, like Rav Kuperman says, who will come and bring the whole Torah and complete the whole picture. And therefore, says Rav Kuperman, Hatnai liyuchud shmosha kodesh baruch hu ala yachid, hu sha'al yado nitznu mitzvos. Rav Kuperman says, what is the Meshach Chachma teaching you? Hashem only attaches his claim to a person, like we see if he is mischadish the mitzvos. So Hashem is saying, I am the God of Amram, he was mischadish mitzvos. The God of Avram, like we saw, the God of Yitzchak and the God of Yaakov. Okay, so I thought that was very, very interesting. And then he says, the Meshach Chachma just finishes, so it says, and Shmos Rabba, Elokei Avicha refers to Amram. So I thought that was also a very interesting pesha, that what it's referring to here is Hashem is Mishayed Shemo on the person after he introduces to a mitzvos, and that's what he was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course, Moshe will be the one to complete the whole picture and bring us Kol HaTorah Kulo. Okay. So now, I want to propose something different. After everything that we've learned, 2 hours and 45 minutes, can I know? And we really have not repeated, and we've done a ton of material. Maybe we could understand a different reason as to why Yehoshua was commanded to take off one shoe, but Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to take off two shoes. What do shoes represent, or what are shoes a tool for? With shoes, a person can go out into the world. You can conquer the world, to borrow a phrase. Shoes enable the person to march forward, to do, to accomplish, to be, to walk, to succeed. If a person does not have shoes, I mean literally, if you don't have shoes, you can't get very far in life. You need shoes to walk. Like my parents, when we were growing up, they had what's called a cottage. If anyone is from Toronto or Canada, they call them the summer homes. They don't call them bungalows. They don't call them summer homes. They call them cottages. So it was about an hour out of Toronto. And we were one house away from the sandy beach. So when I say sandy beach, you have to understand what I mean. It's like this little patch of, you know, sand, and the lake Simcoe was right there, and there would be minnows. I'm not talking about, I don't even think it was as big as this room, okay? Like a small little patch. And it was always nice to go there. And then when my children were little, I would take them there, a pail, a shovel. It was one house away. It was my parents' house, then a house, and what we called the sandy beach. I don't know the real name, but we called it the sandy beach. There were two docks. It was just, it was very, very special, especially for the children. So you had to have shoes. You were only going from one house apart, but there was a lot of gravel walking there, and you can't step on gravel. It really hurts. You know, it's like if kids leave little Legos on the floor and you happen to be barefoot in the house, can you step in a pile of Lego? You're not going to get very far. You have to have shoes to move forward. You have to have shoes. Shoes represent man's ability not only to physically walk forward, but metaphysically to go forward in life. So perhaps I was thinking, I don't know, but what was the difference between the Dor HaDeah, the generation that Moshe was leading, and the generation that Yehoshua was leading? Moshe was leading the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim. Yehoshua was leading the Dor Ba'ei Aretz. When it came to the first generation, the generation Moshe was leading, what did they need to do? Did they need to do laundry? No. Simlas chalo balsamei alacha. Their clothing grew with them like a snail shell, Rashi tells us in Devarim, grows with a snail. Did they need to procure food? No. This week's parsha is Beshalach, chapter 16. The man falls for the first time. Every single day, for 40 years, you got an omer l'gogolos, and there was enough for everyone in your house. Did they need to go out to work? No, they didn't need to go out to work because they didn't have to sustain themselves. Did they need to build a house or buy a house or rent a house? No, they had the Anane HaKavod and tents to protect them. Did they need to buy shoes for their children? No. Their feet did not swell. The Anane HaKavod leveled the mountains, raised the valleys, the sites for three mountains, Har Sinai, Har Nevo, and Har Hahar, not in that order, Har Sinai, Har Hahar, and Har Nevo. Everything was done for the people. Why did they need to do this generation? Nothing. Nothing. They needed to do nothing. They didn't need to work. They didn't need to cook. They didn't need to go down to the river early in the morning or go to the well and draw water because there was a well that gave them water. They didn't need to take the kids shoe shopping before Yantif. They didn't need to take them clothing shopping and do online orders and in-store orders and return the clothing and it's good. They didn't need to wash the clothing. Oh, that's another thing. No laundry. They pressed. It was like an iron. So like literally, I don't know, it's like a 40-year vacation. Okay, they had nothing to do. In fact, that's one of the things you learn from the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Ev. We already touched upon the first two dibros, Anochi and Lo'iyah, right in the beginning of class. Kibbud Av Ev is the fifth dibra. Kaved es avicha ve'es imecha, l'man yarmichun yimecha, adama. But one of the famous Divrei Torah on Kibbud Av Ev is, what do you learn about Kibbud Av Ev? That even if your parents do nothing for you, you still have to show them honor. How do we learn that from the Dor HaMidbar? We davka learn it from the Dor HaMidbar, but this isn't my own var. I don't remember which sefer it's brought down. I actually tried to look it up in one sefer this morning when before Shir, but I couldn't find it. But it's not my own var, and it's a famous var on Kibbud Av Ev. Even if a person's parents do nothing for them, Kibbud Av Ev, what did they have to honor their parents for in the desert? But God gave it in the desert specifically because the parents did nothing for those children, and yet you still have to honor your parents. So in that generation, they didn't have to really do much of anything. Who did everything? The Ribbono Shel Olam did everything for them. What does the pasuk say in Shemos? It's on your handout, middle of page 5. What happens by the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, by the night of Malchus Bechoros? It says Shemos 12:22, Perikid Beis Pasachav Beis. Ulokachtam Agudas Ezov, Utevaltam Badamasher Basaf, Vigatam Elamashkov, Elshtea Mezuzas, Mina Damasher Basaf. So after you do the Karban Pesach, you should paint the doorpost and the lintel with blood. Vaatam lo seitu ishmi Pesach Beis Ad Bogar. You stay home. I'm going to do everything. I will go through Egypt. I will take revenge on your enemies. You're not going to battle against the Egyptians. You're going to do nothing to free yourselves. Yes, they had to do Karban Pesach and Bris Milah, but you don't have to go out girded for battle against the Egyptians. You stay home. You eat the Karban Pesach. I'm going to take care of everything. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Beshalach, Shemos Perek Yudalit, Psukim Yud Gimel through Yudalit. It's the next thing on your handout. Vayomer Moshe Alam, the people are panicking. They come to the sea, Vayisu B'nei Yisrael Esay Neim, Vayu Es Mitzrayim, No Se Achareyim. Oh my gosh, look who's here. We just left Egypt less than a week ago. Paro he kriev. Paro brings himself close with his 600 riders and chariots, and they hear the thundering hooves of the horses and the wheels of the chariots. First, Vayitzaku Yisrael al Hashem. First, according to Rashi, they daven. According to Unkos, they just scream. And then they turn their wrath on Moshe. Is this why you took us out of Egypt? Habibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim lakachtanu lamusba midbar. Why did you take us out of Egypt? And what does Moshe say? Al tiro, do not be afraid. His yatzavu, you just stand here. Uru'u es kishuas Hashem asher yasa lachem hayab. Asher atem ki asher re'isam es Mitzrayim hayom lo so sifu l'rosham ad olam. You stand here. Don't be afraid. God will save you like you see the Egyptians today. You will not see them anymore. Shemos 14:14, Hashem yilachim lachem. Va'atem tacharishun. Hashem will fight for you and you will be quiet. So we already spoke about Kibbutz Ava'ev, the reason, what we learned from the fact that it was commanded in the desert, in a generation where parents did nothing for their children, is that you still have to show honor to your parents. But my proof in bringing this pasuk is that they weren't doing much of anything in the desert. Some also say that the root of Chayin HaMeraglim, why didn't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Because they didn't want to leave this existence where they were totally reliant on God to completely provide. Because once they went to Eretz Yisrael, what happened? Everything changed. Now you're going to fight the seven Canaanite nations. Yes, Hashem will be with you, but you're going to fight. Now you're going to conquer the land. Now you're going to divide the land. Now you're not going to have manna falling down. It's not hamotzi lachem min hashamayim anymore. Now you're going to have to plant the wheat and the barley. You're going to have to till the soil. You're going to have to work very hard in the fields. For 6 days you shall work. On the seventh day you shall rest. But those 6 days are a life of toil. So some say the root of the sin of the Meraglim is that the people did not want to leave this existence of complete reliance on the Ribono Shel Olam. They didn't want to have to move into this new realm of existence where they had to do everything for themselves. So now we go back to my pshat, my thought. Shoes represent a man's ability to walk in this world, to move forward, to go, to do, to get to the sandy beach. You need to have shoes on your feet to accomplish, to conquer and succeed. If you don't have shoes, you can't go very far physically, and you can't go very far in life either metaphysically. With shoes, a man is a person of chomrius. He tills the soil. He works for his wages. He shapes his life, his family, and his future. Rav Salvechik says that man's tafkid is to change I fate into I destiny, called odido fake. You need to shape your own destiny. Shoes represent Sha'asali Kotsarki, the Gemara says. When did they say that in the time of Chazal, Sha'asali Kotsarki? When they put on their shoes. Because when you're wearing shoes, you're ready to go out and get all your needs. Hashem told Moshe, you are merely the shaliach of a generation that is totally dependent upon God. Lo al yedei malach, v'lo al yedei saraf, v'lo al yedei hashaliach, ani Hashem anihu v'lo acher. You're a generation where you will take off your shoes. You will be carried by the clouds of glory. They will protect your feet. They will wash your clothing. I will give you water. I will give you food. I will do great miracles for you. You're only along for the ride. You don't need shoes. Take off your shoes. The Exodus, that specific generation, was unique because Hashem took care of it all. I am hamechin mitzadei gavar. I am preparing the steps of this generation. You're along for the ride. But when it came to the Ba'ei Aretz, which were led by Yehoshua, it was a completely different mission and an entirely different existence, reflected in a change of leadership. So Moshe had to take off two shoes. It represents complete. You cast your whole burden on God, and He will take care of you. I need a manifestation here, but you see, even Moshe, he was no chumri. Chumri said, "Ah," says the Kliyakar. He was kula ruchnius. But the next generation, there was a change of leadership. Whereas Moshe was divested of all gashmius, symbolized by the removal of his shoes, Yehoshua remained a mix, if you will, of ruchnius and gashmi. Hence, he was only told to take off one shoe. What does that teach us? What's the lesson to Yehoshua at the beginning of his career for the second generation, the Ba'ei Aretz? One shoe on, I wrote in my notes, and one shoe off. Remember that nursery rhyme? Lahavdil, sorry. One shoe off means I am Hashem. My hashgacha and divine ratzon will always guide you, shape you, and protect you. One shoe off. We don't totally divest ourselves, chas v'sham, of hashgachas Hashem, and Hashem leading the path. But you have to keep one shoe on, because you're the generation of hishtadlus. You're the generation of the chalutzim. You're the generation of hard work, of effort, of the toil of your hand. So Moshe's generation take off two shoes, because really Hashem does everything. Yes, there were some signs that the people already had this message of hishtadlus. Sota lamed zayin aleph, which I brought the Gemara, but I don't have time to quote it inside. Nachshon ben Aminadav kafatz, but Nachshon ben Aminadav v'yarod liyam techila. Even, by the way, I was thinking, it's interesting, by the Korban Pesach, how are they supposed to eat the Korban Pesach? That's the end of the Pasuk. Pasuk Hula Hashem. The beginning of the Pasuk tells you, how do you eat the Korban Pesach? Masnechem chagurim na'alechem biraglechem umaklechem biyadchem. It's Perikid based, Parshas Bo. They were taught to put on their shoes by Yisias Mitzrayim. So I thought that was an interesting distinction between Moshe. They were given a glimmer that the future is a future where you will need to wear shoes. You will need to go out. You will need to conquer. You will need to jump into the sea. But overall, this generation, we've proven from many sources, from Rashi's in Devarim, they really didn't have to do much of anything. Not hew the stones, not build the homes, not work for Parnassah, not buy the food, not store the food in the fridge, not organize the freezers before Yantef. They didn't have to warm the things up. They didn't have to buy clothing. They didn't have to launder the clothing. They didn't have to worry about valleys and mountains. Hashem did everything. Take off both shoes. But that was a very unique generation that existed only once. For all the rest of us, it's one shoe on and one shoe off. One shoe off represents that we know that Hashem is always with us. Hashem is always guiding us. Hashem prepares the path of man. Take off your shoe. But don't take off both shoes, because you're a human being. And the way of Olam Haza is, Vayinechei began Eden la'avda l'shamra. Adam was put into the Garden of Eden to work. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal, is a beautiful piece where he talks about the value of work. You're not here for a free ride. Ein somchem al anes. That generation passed a long, long time ago. Yehoshua was the first leader of a generation that knew the value of hard work, of effort. Go out and fight the battle. Go out to Ai. Conquer Yericho. Conquer the land and divide the land. Divide and conquer. The generation of conquering and dividing the land was a generation who would build and develop, plant and farm, fight mechames mitzvah, mechames rishus, establish a commonwealth. The Dor HaMidbar did not have any way to practice Shemitah, Yovel, Orla, Truma, Meiser, Bikurim, Aliyah, L'Regal, but the new generation had to keep one shoe on because they would be active in building the land and shaping their destiny. And Ein Somchim Al Anes is our way of life. You always have to have metaphysically one shoe on, because you're a doer. And one shoe off balances you out and reminds you that God is really forging the path and always with you. David Ben-Gurion, who is not by any means a religious prime minister, or a religious practicing Jew, that was Menachem Begin. He was identified as the most religious of Israel prime ministers. But most Jewish of Israel's prime ministers. But David Ben-Gurion even said, in Israel, in order to be a realist, you must believe in miracles. So how am I relating that this year? In order to be a realist, you have to be realistic. Keep one shoe on. you must believe in miracles, take one shoe off. Because an Eved Hashem is a combination of these two ideas. You have to work and produce and be successful. You can't sit in your house and say, Hashem was sent, I mean literally sit in your house and not go. You want a job? So chances are you need to send out a resume, post on LinkedIn, go for a job interview, dress for the position. If you just sit in your house, literally, and never leave your house, so there's not going to be food falling through the chimney. Why not? Hashem could do it. Yeah, God could do it, but that's not the way we work. There's no manna every day coming down into your fridge. I bet. And if you want a job, you got to go out and you got to find a job. Now, if you do your shtablis and it doesn't happen, that's a different story. But if you don't do your shtablis, it's not going to happen. Why? Because only Moshe was told two shoes off. Yahushua represents the next mantle of leadership in all generations of Jews since. You must go out. You must conquer, do, be, work. So that's our message. Vayomer sar tzva Hashem el Yahushua. Shal na'achal me'al raglacha. Take off one shoe. Yamakom asher ata omed alav kod hashu. And we too, unlike Moshe, we are like Yahushua. We're Chomri and we're Gashmi. Of course, our Tafkid is, I said it wrong. We're Chomri Gashmi and Ruchani Kodesh. Our focus, of course, is to make sure the Kodesh and the Ruchani is our main goal. But we do have materiality. We eat. We use the facilities. We cleanse ourselves and bathe. We dress ourselves. We are people who combine Gashmis and Ruchnias. And that is the tafkid of all of us. It's to go out and work. It's to conquer the world. Like the Rav says, it's to change I fate to I destiny. For us, there's no such thing as taking off two shoes. It's not the mahalach that the Ribbono Shel Olam desires from us. Take off one shoe. Hashem is in charge. You have amuna. He is the mechin mitzvah de'gavra. Of course Hashem takes care of our every need and our every survival. But keep one shoe on. You have to be an active participant in every aspect of your life. Because if you're not, Hashem's not going to do it for you. Bali Tahir, I think it's Yuma Lamed Chas or Lamed Tas. Bali Tahir Misayin Oso. He who wants to be purified, if you come to be purified, Hashem will help you. I could give you so many sources. Pishchuli Pesach Shel Mecha Vani Avtachem Pesach Shel Ulam. You got to take the first step, pun intended. Get it? With the foot that has kishu, you have to take the first step. Then Hashem will do it. Your other shoe is off. You're going to sit in your house or you're not going to have food? You're not going to have a job? You won't find a shirach for your children? Of course, I know everything's up to Hashem, but at least you have to take the first step. You won't go to the grocery, so you're going to run out of food. We must be active in every aspect of our lives. Ki amachem asher atah omed alav, says Hashem to Yeshua, kodeshu. The place upon which we stand, wherever and whenever it may be, is holy ground. But we must live by the duality of Amuna Baal Shem on the one hand, one shoe off, and belief in self on the other hand, which is one shoe on. And let's just finish with the Tzidkas Tzedek. I think Rav Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin is most famous. He died in 1900. And Rav Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin is most famous for the following teaching. You probably, I know what time it is. I really want to finish, okay? Yeah? I prepared, this was a true labor of love, and I'm going to say for the third time, it's a chazaka, one time for each year. I hope you appreciate the depth of Torah, if you got nothing else. It's unbelievable how much time you could spend on one nekuda of Torah, and how vast and deep the ocean of Torah is. So, Rav Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, fortunately or unfortunately, fortunately because it's a beautiful teaching, unfortunately because for us lay people, we don't know so much else that he taught besides for this. You might know this teaching, but you might not know the context of the teaching. And this is amazing. When I prepared this, I knew it was going to be more than one, but I didn't know if it was going to be two or three. It took me three classes. This week's Parsha is Parshas Bishalach. The Tzidkas Tzedek teaches the following lesson. I never knew the source till a family friend, Meir Kovacs, a few months ago, maybe last year, of all places, this was posted on his WhatsApp status. And I was so excited, I printed it out and I typed it out. And this is the source for the Tzidka Tzedek. I'm sure you've all heard the teaching. K'shem she'adam tzarich la'amin ba'ashem, kein tzarich adam la'amin ba'atzmo. By show of hands, who's heard that? I would have thought everybody. Just like man has a mission and has a responsibility to believe in God, so too man must believe in himself. I never knew where it was from until Mayor Kovacs posted on his WhatsApp status last year. It's from Parshas Beshalach. Tzidkas HaTzadak. Tzidkas HaTzadak. Last insight on page 5. Give me not more than 5 minutes. K'shem she'tzarich Adam la'amin ba'Hashem yisparach, kach tzarich Adam kein la'amin ba'atzmo. Just like a person must believe in Hashem, Anochi Hashem, so too he must believe in himself. You have to believe God has business with you. Hashem wants you. You're valuable. Visha einenu po el batel. You're not a wasted creation. Shabain Laila, quoting from Yonah. One day the Kikayon was there and the next day it died. You have value. You're not just here for 5 seconds. God put you here for an important tafkid. He has business with you. You're not like a plant that withers overnight, like Bayonis Kikayon. You're not like the beast of the field that after death, it's like they're gone and they were never here. Rak tzarich la'amin. You must believe. Your soul comes from the source of life, God. And God takes pleasure and delight in you when you do His will. Where do you learn this from? Parshas Beshalach. What a perfect way to end this Shir series. Mizat Perush, and that's what the Pasuk says, right at the end of Shemos Perik Yudal, Vayaminu Vayosha Hashem Bayamahu, Esra Miyam Mitzrayim, etc., 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 Vayaminu Bahashem Ubu Moshe Avdo. The people believed in Hashem and his Moshe, his servant. What does that mean? Perush Moshe. What does it mean they believed in Moshe? Rotzelamar, Klaus Shishim Ribuo Nafshos Yisrael Bedar Hahu. They believed in Hashem, that part we understand. What does it mean they believed in Moshe? Moshe encompasses every soul of Israel. It means they believed in themselves. Moshe includes or encompasses all the souls of Israel of that generation. They believed that Hashem Yisparach desires them. And they also believed in Moshe. A person must believe, my work here is good. My toil is necessary. My efforts are important. My ability is tremendous. And then you could believe in Hashem, take off your shoe. And you can believe in yourself. Keep on your shoe. K'shem she'tzarich Adam la'amin ba'Hashem yisparach. Kach tzarich achar kach ba'ha'amin. Ba'atzmo. And only if you live by this dual value system where you believe in God that He will forge your path and you take off one shoe, can you also have the next aspect that is important, which is believe in yourself, keep on your shoe. So that generation was unique. It was only Moshe to take off both. But the rest of us always have, like Yoshua, one shoe off and one shoe. And I hope everybody learned a lot of new things. Hodu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chastoma Hafti Sorasecha Kol Hayom Hisi Chasi Lahagdil Torah Ulaha Adira. Just a reminder, next week, yes, Shir. Okay? I'm on a different schedule than Rabbi Schachter. This is with Rabbi Schachter's permission. Please come next week. There is Shir, but the last Thursday in January, which I believe is the 27th, there is no Thursday Shir. One more Shir in January, Bazor Hashem. I hope to see you next week. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you. Call to Besuras Tovos.